This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Sister Sonia C., your happy radio host, inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. on Melodies of Praise. It's a program with a difference where we magnify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in songs of praise, prayer, and words of inspiration. We are reaching people and changing lives through the love of Christ right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Join Pastor Jonathan McLean in Abundant Life Assembly of God Church each Sunday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. right here on your good news station, WCNO.
you hurry, sir? Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know these shoes will make her smile, and I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Touchdown, I'm leaving heaven right. right now. I'm gonna walk around that broken earth, trading in these streets of gold. So if you ever wonder how much you're worth, you should know that you're the reason why I'm leaving heaven. Crown, just a little old manger in a little old town, but it'll do just fine for this humble king. I'm leaving heaven, let all the angels sing. I'm gonna walk around that broken earth, trading in these streets of gold. So if you ever wonder how much you're worth, well, you should know you're the reason why I'm leaving heaven. La 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 la. Down my life like a truest friend. When I get back home, I'm gonna make some room. So don't you worry, 'cause I'm coming back for you. And you will say goodbye to that broken earth. You're gonna walk on the streets of gold. And if you ever wonder what my love is worth, well, you should know.
Did a baby doll? Did my brother get his bike? Did I get that red wagon? The kind that makes you fly. Oh, I hope there'll be peace on earth. I know there's goodwill toward men on account of that baby born in Bethlehem. Mom and Daddy stayed up too late last night. Oh, I guess they got carried away in the Christmas candlelight. And you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. And you gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up.
Goes on and on. Your laughter breaks the silence. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We pray that as you listen, God will use the content of this program to help you better understand His Word and strengthen your relationship with the Savior. When listening today, if you would like us to pray for you, please text us at 772-205-6552 and someone will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we're listening to a message titled Jesus' Prayer for Our Church, delivered by our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. In John 17, Jesus offered a prayer for his disciples, not for them only, but for everyone who came after. This is the last thing he will do before going to the cross. That makes what he says in it very important. The disciples are present in the room as Jesus prays to the Father for them. His love for them, his mission on earth, and his desires for you and I are presented clearly in this prayer. It's critical that we understand this prayer of our Savior. We invite you to ask God to give you insight to this as we listen to our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
Good morning, Grace Emmanuel Church. Look at you guys, active and feeling good. Got a good night's sleep last night. That's wonderful. So the title of my sermon this morning is Jesus' Prayer for Our Church. What a joy and distinct privilege to stand before you all today as my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ and saints, which we'll get to a little bit later. And have the massive charge, I have the massive charge and responsibility before Holy God Almighty to preach His Word. So our text today, so if you have your Bible, you can flip there, is John chapter 17, called by most the High Priestly Prayer. And in my estimation, this is one of the most gripping, if not the most gripping, emotionally intense, goosebumps all over your body passages in all of Scripture. In this high priestly prayer is only about 650 words. It takes on average only 3 minutes and 30 seconds to read out loud. Yesterday, I was just having it on repeat on audio of the audio Bible, and it was about 3 minutes and 34 seconds, but 3.5 minutes to read it. And this prayer is touted by juggernaut theologians as the Holy of Holies. And if you've been in church, if you've been in Christ for any length of time, that springs forth something. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, where Jesus died and the temple veil was torn in two. And in the Old Covenant, only the high priest was permitted to pass on the Day of Atonement once a year, and he prayed and covered the sins of mankind through the shedding of animals' blood. But you see, Jesus is now our high priest who can sympathize with us. He is acquainted with our emotions, our wills, our feelings. He is our advocate. So when we approach the Father, we can approach him with boldness and confidence because Jesus is our wonderful, great advocate. And his perfect sacrifice on the cross is why any of us can boldly approach the Father's throne. We can approach the Father's throne room with boldness and with grace because he has paid it all for us. So here's what's amazing to me. Jesus was truly man and truly God. I love that more than 100% man, 100% God, that's true. But I think it really hones in when you realize that he was truly man. In every way he was man, he learned, he matured, he attended synagogue, he ate, he drank, he was truly human, but he is also truly God, divine in every single way. That's our God. So in any event, this passage is so weighty that many pastors that have been pastoring for a long time have never even preached on it because that's super weighty. I'm not even going to touch it, or that's going to take a year to fully digest and comprehend. And in other cases, full commentaries and full books have been written on the high priestly prayer. In one case, there was a commentary that was 1,000 thousand some odd pages long on the high priestly prayer. And at the end of the commentary, there was like an editor's note. And it said, I know that I barely scratched the surface of all this prayer entails. So, if you think I can accomplish the insurmountable feat of dissecting this passage in a 45-minute sermon because I have a fancy degree now, I have bad news for you. It isn't going to happen. This is a 4-6 month year series. But I had this dilemma. If I know I'm going to hardly scratch the surface, do I run from it or do I preach it anyway? I decided to preach it. So this will be more of a flyby overview because tackling this passage is still a worthy endeavor. And I want to showcase what is happening in this holy moment and punch these truths home, because if we begin to grasp what is being prayed here by Jesus himself, it will transform our lives. And the richness of these realities will become the hallmarks and pillars by which we mark our faith. So, in this high priestly prayer, Jesus is asking God to glorify his son so that he could glorify God, the Father. The word glorify in the Greek is doxazo, and this verb is being used 61 times, and 23 of those times being in John's gospel. And literally, that word means to render illustrious, to manifest, to be made known. So when Jesus is asking the Father to glorify him, he is asking the Father to make Jesus known. This is the hour, the moment has come for people to know that I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah, and here it is on full display. And then after doing this, Jesus turns his focus to praying for the church. He prays that the church would be one, like he and the Father were one. He prays for their protection, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He prays that the church might have joy. He prays for protection from the evil one. He prays for our sanctification in the truth of God's word. He wants the church to be unified just as he and the Father are one. So if Jesus was physically in this room today, if he was in my place and he was here physically, of course he's here and we know that the Lord Jesus is among us today, but if he was physically here, we would listen rather intently, wouldn't we? Because you see, this prayer of Jesus is for his glorification, and it's for the betterment and for the edification of the disciples who would be listening in. And then it was 11 disciples that were listening in. Judas was nowhere to be found, but the 11 disciples are listening in as the Son and the Father are communing together. Jesus and the Father are in perfect unity and harmony with one another. So this Sunday, May 30th, 2021, us 200 some odd disciples get to listen in. And I do mean odd in more ways than one, starting with me as the COO, Chief Oddball Officer. So let's pray for spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see the glories and wonders of this breathtaking passage. So, without further ado, it took 7 minutes to get here. This is God's inspired, infallible word. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And I love this. And this is eternal life that they, sidebar, in some translations it says, may know you. I believe some of these translations really got it right, that they know you. It's matter of fact. You can know God in Jesus Christ, the only true God whom you have sent. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus does love the lost, and he prays for the lost, but his primary concern is for those of us who call ourselves believers, those of us who are saints, Right? The Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he talks about not judging those outside the church, but to lovingly judge those inside the church. It's the same concept. Jesus is praying for and cares wholeheartedly about the holiness of his bride. So, it's so easy to take our focus off these prayer points that Jesus offered up. And when we do, we allow the enemy to take a foothold and to create division and strife in the church. So I'm going to set the scene for us, set the table. This was the day of our Lord's arrest, the high priestly prayer. This is Thursday night, really the wee hours of Friday, early morning Friday, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., whatever the case may be, right before Good Friday. Right before he would be unjustly tried and unceremoniously murdered, he is right outside Jerusalem. Jesus knows he must die. This has been the plan before the foundation of the earth. And this high priestly prayer is the culmination of what is famously known as the farewell discourse. John 13, going through to 17, which is where we are today. So to kind of overview 13 through 16, in order to understand John 17, I'll give you four sentence nuggets. Jesus says we must abide in him. He is the vine, we are the branches. Jesus said that the paraclete would come, our helper, the Holy Spirit, to indwell us and to empower us unto good works, glorifying to him. He also said that we would have joy even amidst the persecution of the church of Jesus Christ, because we know that Jesus has overcome the world. And if Jesus has overcome the world, we will overcome the world. So, Jesus is praying this right by the Kidron Ravine. Here is a picture of it. You could still go visit today, and we'll get more into that. The location is not accidental or incidental. And I'll punch that home as we come to a close a little bit later. But all the animal sacrifices that were required in the old covenant was transpiring. Jesus had not rose from the dead yet. There was not a new covenant yet. And there's this picture in my mind that will not escape. As Jesus is around this ravine, around this brook, he would see the animals. He would have had to have seen the animals' blood flowing by the pintful around him. The Father and the Son know the plan set before the foundation of the world. Jesus knows what must be done. That the blood flowing down this river is gearing him up for the blood that he knows he must spill on that same day at Calvary for the sins of humanity and due to his great love for each one of us. He knew the cross was his inevitable future. It had been planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus was going to be condemned as a sinner, yet without sin, without any blemish. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. So again, high priestly prayer. This is the longest prayer of Jesus recorded in Scripture. Earlier on in Scripture, you would see Jesus would get alone with the Father. He would go to a desolate place. He would go over by the mountains. He would go and be with the Lord. But we are seeing the most, honestly, if not the most, one of the most holy conversations in all of Scripture. And it was between the Son of God and our Heavenly Father. There's nothing wasteful or flashy about this high priestly prayer, but it's powerful. It's potent, it cuts to the core. And if we apply it, we will see God glorified in our lives like never, ever before. Because you see, what's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer occurred earlier on in the ministry of Jesus, right? Forgive us our sins. Jesus never prayed that prayer because Jesus never sinned. It was a model for us disciples to pray that prayer. So sorry to mess with church history a little bit. In our church history, the high priestly prayer is the real Lord's Prayer because Jesus is praying. Him and the Father are communing with one another. And shortly after this intense prayer conversation with our Heavenly Father, he would be held to task at six separate trials, three which were Roman, three which were Jewish. And here's the real nuts and bolts of the high priestly prayer. John 17, 17. I said it was gonna be a flyby. I cannot go deep into every single verse here. Again, it would take me a year. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, it's our Lord's primary concern for his disciples that we would be holy, set apart, not like the world. Holiness marks true believers. May we be a people that intensely prays, a people that intensely love, a people that intensely honor and care for one another. Galatians 6:10 says to do good to all of those, especially those in the household of faith. So we would have such a love for one another. Remember John 13? They would know you were my disciples by your love for one another. So we need that. It's paramount. It's vital. It's critical. So the word sanctify in the Greek is hagioso. It's also found in the Lord's Prayer, referenced earlier. Hallowed be thy name, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hagioso be thy name. So in Scripture, this is important. The word saints, sanctification, holiness, all come from the same root word. And that root word literally means to cut so that there would be separation. We need to be separated from the world in order to be truly used by God. If we want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, if we want to have an anointing on our lives, it must mean that we are fully and wholly consecrated to the Lord and him alone. And Jesus is praying for his disciples that they would be separated, cut off from profane, ungodly, unholy things, unholy speech, unholy viewpoints. Anything that runs contrary to the clear teachings of Scripture, God is saying, weed it out. It's going to kill you if you don't. Right? John Owen, the quote, kill sin before sin kills you. There's a lot of truths that we need to be actively killing sin. Sin is a deadly poison. It's nothing to be played with. It's a deadly enemy. We must approach it face on with the word of God as the sword of the Spirit as our primary weapon. It's also important to note that this word sanctify is in the imperative, which means this. When you parse the verb, it's critically important. We must understand this. This is a command, not a suggestion, not an option. This is not, do I want steak or ribs for dinner? By the way, I'm having steak for dinner tonight, praise God, but that's separate. Do I want steaks or ribs for dinner? Oh, jolly, gee whiz, I cannot make up my ever-loving mind. No, Jesus is commanding us to conduct lives as holy, blameless, set-apart people. Not living like the world, not talking like the world, not acting like the world in any way that resembles unrepentant pagans. Paul commands us that we hold all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So every decision we make, big or small, it doesn't matter. We need to approach the Lord with holy awe and reverence, knowing that our God is in control and we will give an account to him. We must be diligent in our prayers. Grace Emmanuel Church is a special church for many reasons, but I believe one of the chief reasons is because we are unified around the mission of Jesus Christ. We love Jesus. We're in love with Jesus. We want to see the name of Jesus known and glorified and magnified all throughout the ends of the earth. We were just singing about that. Great are you, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your song be heard everywhere on earth until your sovereign work is done. Let your kingdom come. So this church will give an ultimate account to our Lord. I think of the seven churches of Revelation, that there will be an account given. Grace Emmanuel Church will give an account to the Lord. You personally will give an account to the Lord. I will give an account to the Lord. And the scripture says that I'll be held to even a stricter judgment. James chapter 3, verse 1. These are sobering realities that must be addressed. We are to be honorable vessels fit for the master's use. Here's what that means. If we are not currently living lives honoring to the Lord, we are not yet fit for the master's use. Pastor Sam has talked at length about how deep, how long, how wide, how far reaching the love of God is in Christ. The high priestly prayer showcases that so clearly, that we have a foxhole here at Grace Emmanuel Church. We want to be a people serious about holiness. We need to be united in our faith with one another right here at the foxhole that is Grace Emmanuel Church. You want to know why? The world already hates us, and they're going to continue to hate us, increasingly so. So we need Jesus most of all, and we need each other. That's why the Apostle Paul talks about the one another's, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, to honor and love and care for one another, because we really need one another. We need to build one another up in the Lord. And the only way to properly do that is that we are first sanctified. We're first set apart for his service, that we are holy as he is holy. Only when that is true can we actually be edifying to anybody else in the church. So as we employ and deploy from this place to fulfill the mission that God has put us here on this earth, let's continue in the high priestly prayer. Verse 13 through 19. Like I said, it's just an overview, but I still thought it was worthwhile to preach on. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Hagioso them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So we must be diligent in praying to God for his wisdom and guidance. Give up trying to do things in our own power, in our own strength. It doesn't work. There's nothing eternally rewarding about doing things in our own strength. It's by his might and his power and his strength that we move and have our being. So this prayer in John 17 is truly a biblical masterpiece. Jesus prays for his disciples. They're all within earshot. We're all within earshot right here of the goofy youth pastor's voice here at Grace Emmanuel Church. And he prays for unity and love for one another to be prevalent in his disciples. He was showcasing his utter dependence upon his heavenly Father. So if there's one primary takeaway for us before we leave out these double doors today, it's for each one of us to have an utter dependence upon our heavenly Father. And this is really important. We as believers in Christ are not merely given by the Father to the Son. They are entrusted to the Son. You only entrust things to people that you, what? Trust. People that you love passionately. People that you know have your best interest at heart. People that you really know. So this isn't a flippant, here you go, here's a piece of candy. No, I'm entrusting these disciples to you. So that's the love of Christ on full display. It is constant, it is unconditional, it is perfect in every way. That is mind-boggling to me.
We pause briefly from today's broadcast to welcome those just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're listening to a message called Jesus Prayer for Our Church, delivered by our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. Jesus has already promised power and guidance from the Holy Spirit. Jesus prays that we would be holy. He prays that we would be unified. He prays that we would be protected from the evil one and that we would be powerful together. He talks about us as his possession. He is about to die and then rise again from the dead to make all that possible. We have all we need to continue showing his glory to this world. If you have questions about this or would like to reach out to us during the broadcast, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, and prayer requests. Now let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Mitchell McGar.
As Pastor Sam has talked about in his series, let us grasp the ungraspable here. The same love the Father has for the Son has for us. That's mind-blowing. That the Father's love for the Son of God is the same love that the Son of God has for each one of us as his disciples. So we must be in unity with one another and love one another, as the world will surely hate us. We have seen a growing disdain for Christianity in our country, which was founded on God-centered, Christ-exalting principles. And Jesus is saying, he's imploring us, be sanctified in the truth. Because only when we are, only when we consecrate our lives to him and him alone, only then will we be able to withstand the headwind of this world in the evil days forthcoming. So I really need to say this. We have seen overreaching puny world leaders come against Christ and his church before, but let me be prophetic, if I may. I take no joy in saying this. We have not seen anything yet. I don't have any personal intel, but I have read the Bible, and I know things will get much, much worse. Nation against nation, unprecedented weather patterns, real persecution occurring regularly in the United States of America like never before. This is not fear-mongering speech. This is really happening in our midst as we speak. Things are being worked on behind the scenes. And one day, 6 months, a year from now, I don't know, 5 years from now, it's going to come down the pike and we're going to go, whoa, I knew they were working on something like this, but here it is on full display. It's now illegal to preach the gospel. You can't say these things in your preaching of the gospel. It's coming. It's coming. So the question is, are we going to be faithful? Are we in love with Christ to the point when it happens? We are going to stand for Christ and not stand with the world. We need to make our decision right now who we will serve this day and in the days ahead. That is my... That is my responsibility as a pastor. It's not about tickling ears. There's plenty of churches doing that, and I'm not naming one of them. There's plenty of churches tickling ears. We don't tickle ears here at Grace Emmanuel Church. Here is the truth. And I'll tell you what, maybe you've seen some of these signs and slogans pop up, and I didn't even want to put the sign up there because it just, ugh. But there are churches, in quotes, by the way, if you can't see me, that have a new creed. And if you hear new and creed in the same sentence, it's a bad sign. Okay? And it talked about how love is love and abortion's okay and all these sorts of things. And it's people in the name of Jesus saying these things. If you're the world, I expect the world to act like that, not the church. So formerly Orthodox Christian churches are now turning cowardly and are now spouting out things that are clearly unbiblical and anti-Christ-like. And by God's grace, Grace Emmanuel Church will never, ever, ever be that kind of church. Now that the heavy stuff is out of the way, let's continue. We must be ready. That's what Jesus is communicating here in this prayer to the Father. Remember his parable of the bridegroom? He's going to come at any moment. Be ready. Be ready. I'm not one of those doomsdayers. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, in a week, or 5 years. I don't know. But what I do know is it's coming, and it's coming soon. So are we, not in a fear-mongering way, but in a love for Christ kind of way, how much do we love Christ? Are we truly one of his disciples? Are we living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways like we've never lived out before? And it starts daily on our knees. You see, the Greek words translated in the high priestly prayer, truth, appears 46 times in this high priestly prayer. 46 times. You know what that means? There is truth and it's going to offend the world. And it's not that we want to offend the world. It's just that by nature, truth offends. So are we going to run like scold the dogs? Or are we going to stay persistent in fighting the race set before us? So, Jesus was praying for unity, for love to be prevalent in his church. So I do need to say this because Jesus has given the body of Christ the blueprint for our success. We all have different personalities. I know. You know what I'm saying? And different perspectives on secondary issues. But we are all part of the bride of Christ, and Jesus desires for us to be unified, to be one as the Father and Son are one, to love one another. I've heard it said before. This is an interesting analogy, an interesting word picture, but I'm going to go with it. Within Orthodox Christianity, we are all different flavors of ice cream. Some of us are chocolate. Some of us are vanilla.